Good evening, and welcome to County Executive Dave Coulter's special telephone town hall for residents of Oakland County on the coronavirus. My name is Hillary Chambers, and I work for Mr. Coulter. Let me tell you about the call so we can get started. Because of the number of people involved, it is set up as listen only. You can hear us, but we can't hear you. During the question period, I'll be able to press a button on my computer so that the person asking the question can be heard by the rest of us when they ask their question. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9. You'll be transferred to another member of our staff who will take down your name and subject of your question. After you provide that information, you'll return to the main call. When I call your name, you'll be able to ask your question. Again, thank you for joining a special telephone town hall for residents of Oakland County, sponsored by County Executive Dave Coulter, to provide information on the coronavirus. Now I'm going to turn the call over to Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter. Please remember, if you would like to ask a question, press 9 on your dial pad. Mr. Coulter?
Thanks, Hillary, and good evening, everyone. I really appreciate that you're taking the time to join us. I know these are really uncertain times, and I want to make sure that you have the facts about coronavirus so you can stay safe and healthy. We'll also tell you what steps we're taking at the county government in lockstep with our public health department to slow the spread of the virus in our county. So first, I want to introduce to you Kathy Forsley. She's our director of the health department, and she's going to explain a few of the basics of coronavirus.
Thank you. So to get that started, this coronavirus, or COVID-19, is a rapidly evolving situation. We're learning more and more about it every day. We do know that it's a novel virus, which means it's new, so there's no immunity in the human population to it. It does spread person to person. It can live on surfaces up to 72 hours. And the symptoms, the classic symptoms for it, are a fever of 100.4, a cough, shortness of breath, but you could have a runny nose and gastrointestinal symptoms as well. Or you may have all of those symptoms, or you may only have a couple. Anybody can get this virus. Most will see mild symptoms. Some will see moderate symptoms. But people over 60 and those with underlying health disorders are the ones that are more susceptible and at higher risk for severe disease, hospitalization. And unfortunately, in that group, we may see some fatalities.
Thanks, Kathy. And remember, as Hillary said, if you have a question, press 9. So, Kathy, if someone is feeling sick, what should they do?
The first thing they should do is isolate themselves. Stay at home and call your doctor. Don't go directly to the doctor's office or the hospital unless you think you are having a life-threatening situation. And in that case, you would call 911 and tell them what's going on. But call your doctor.
Great. So again, this is Dave Coulter, the Oakland County Executive. If you have a question, please press 9. Let me tell you a little bit about the number of cases in Oakland County. As of a couple of hours ago, we have 132 positive cases in our county. The age ranges of these cases start at as young as 7 months old, and they go up to 91 years of age. So anyone of any age can get this virus, although, as Kathy said, we know our seniors over 60 and people with underlying health conditions are the most at risk. We're currently monitoring more than 600 quarantined patients in our county. Our health department interviews each individual, investigates possible public exposures, and then we inform the public. Although we started out with many of our cases having international or domestic travel, we're now seeing the majority of our cases without that condition. And what this tells us is that the virus is throughout our population. It's being passed from community member to community member, not just people who have traveled. So, Kathy, can you talk to us a little bit about getting tested at this time and whether we're expecting testing and positive results to increase in the next days and weeks?
So testing has been a bit challenging. It's been slow in coming. It's difficult to get get testing kits. But as we get into this, we're getting more and more of those. Hospitals are starting to test. There's a couple that have drive-through testing operations going. But your physician will talk to you about whether or not they think you need to be tested. More and more, if you're sick, your doctor will say, well, it sounds like you have symptoms of COVID-19. You should stay at home, but we're not going to test you. Hospitals are really trying to reserve those tests for the people that are most ill, trying to determine if they should be hospitalized, and if they're that sick, they want to know what it is they're working with. So those are the top priorities for testing. But talk to your doctor and see what they think about you getting tested.
And I do want to add, because I've heard this frustration from residents, that there are residents who feel like they have some of the symptoms, they've called their doctor, and their doctor has not advised taking a test. I want to reinforce what Kathy said, because we don't have enough tests right now. The number of tests are increasing, we're getting more, but we are prioritizing them for the people who are most at risk. And so listen to your doctor and take seriously the self-quarantining orders. And self-quarantining doesn't mean don't go to work, it means stay in the house. Have other people drop off supplies to you if needed. The other thing I want to say is sometimes we can feel helpless in this situation, but we have the ability to slow the spread if we take all precautionary measures. And by the way, if you want to help in a real serious and substantive way, if you're feeling healthy and up to it, we're going to need more blood in Metro Detroit. And so if you call the Red Cross and make an appointment to give blood, that will become more and more important as more and more of our residents are hospitalized. So with that, Hillary, why don't we take some questions if we have some?
Excellent. Thank you again for joining the telephone town hall sponsored by Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter. We'll take a question from Laura, who lives in Birmingham. Laura, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Hi, Laura.
Thank you.
Hi, Dave. So, my question is, you talked about testing. I wonder what the capability right now is in terms of how many tests you can do a day or how many are being processed in Oakland County per day and how much that's ramping up. If you can have any specificity about that.
That's a difficult question to answer at the moment. We have a couple of hospitals that have ramped up their laboratories for testing. We have commercial laboratories that are coming online for testing. And then the State of Michigan Bureau of Laboratories is doing testing every day. So the issue is that when we're talking about the commercial laboratories, it's not just Oakland County tests or samples that are going to them, same with the State of Michigan, and actually even our hospitals. So their full capacity is larger than what we in Oakland County are able to get through. But there's, it's safe to say that we're getting a few hundred Oakland County samples run a day, but don't hold me to that because it's changing every day, but the number is going up.
Not only do we have, do we need more testing kits, but there's also a shortage of testing supplies like the swabs and the transport mediums and such. And so we're doing our best to get those products. But we also have a couple of hospitals like Beaumont and Henry Ford who are doing their own testing now instead of just sending them to the state. And that's probably another reason why Oakland County's numbers seem to be going up higher than in other places because we now have the ability to do even more testing in Oakland County. Great question. Hillary, do we have any other questions?
Yeah, we have a couple of questions regarding the public exposure sites and our early announcement of some of the sites. So I'm going to call on Chun, who is calling from West Bloomfield.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Last week, we saw places, locations of exposure, where confirmed cases when visiting. But how come in the last couple of days we don't see any of those announcements or updates?
That's an excellent question. Do you want to take
this? Yeah, I could take that. You know, in the early days of this epidemic, and what we still do is the health department receives a positive test, and then they're in touch with all the patients, and we trace back all the potential exposures. Sometimes we publicly release places of exposure because we couldn't contact everybody and we wanted the public to be aware. In other cases, we knew everybody that they had been in contact with and there was no other additional risk to the public. But I will tell you, and I think Kathy will confirm this, we're closely getting to the point where there's so many cases in Oakland County now where we'll still track the positives and we'll still track their immediate public, their immediate exposures, but it is so widespread in our community now that our capability of touching everyone that's been potentially exposed is going to be limited. So that just means we have to assume it's everywhere. You have to assume it's in your workplace. You have to assume it's in your community. And we don't have any hot spots in Oakland County. There's not one community that's seeing a spike more than others. So this just tells us it's everywhere, and we just all need to do these precautionary measures as seriously as we can to limit the spread of the virus. Thank you.
We'll take a question from Sean in Walled Lake. Sean, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Sean.
Yeah, my question is, I'm 61, and just in the last week, I've had these sharp pains in my stomach, and I heard Kathy mention that gastroenterology, or however you pronounce that, can be a symptom, and I'm getting these sharp pains in my stomach that I haven't had since I was a child when I knew I was getting sick or the flu, and now I have not thrown up or anything like that, but I haven't felt these symptoms since I was a kid and had the flu. Is this something I should be concerned with at all, or I don't have anything else, I don't have a fever, I'm not, you know, I'm good that way, so I was just wondering about these sharp pains in my stomach.
So we would always recommend to you that you call your private physician and let them know what your symptoms are. There may be other things that the physician may want to ask you some questions about to rule out some other things, so that would be important. But it is possible that symptoms like that could be attributed to COVID-19 because we have heard of a few cases that it lists those gastrointestinal symptoms. But there's not really a classic symptom of it, so it could be you're in early stages, see what happens, but I would definitely call your physician and just have a talk with him about that.
And the other thing I would add to that, thank you, Kathy, is that if you, for those of you who may not have a regular physician, you can always call the Oakland County Nurse on Call, and they can also give you the same kind of guidance. And I want to give you that number. It's 1-800-848-5533. 1-800-848-5533 if you'd like to talk to our nurse on call and not your primary care physician.
Okay, we'll take a question from Laura. Laura is from White Lake. Laura, can you hear us?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, Laura.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
I was just wondering about how to bring food into your house. I usually use ClickList, but even if I shop for it, what's the best way to bring it in the house knowing that coronavirus lives on some surfaces, and I've heard that that's really, they don't know if that really is transferring it or not, but what do you recommend to bring, like, put it in the garage, bring it in, what do you do? What about produce and other deliveries to your home and carry out from restaurants?
So you're right. They don't really know if that is a way that it's transferred. They say it may be transferred that way. It may live up to 72 hours. So it's definitely person-to-person contact that is, you know, most identified as the means of transmission. But for bringing groceries in, I would say that um, I, I wouldn't spend a lot of time worrying about that. Produce you can wash, and that is something you should do. Wash your hands after you, you know, put things away that have just come in from the grocery store. If you take those kinds of precautions, I think you're going to be in good shape. But if you really want to be extra sure, you know, if you have items in packages, you could leave them for 3 days before you handle them to be absolutely sure. But I don't really think from the literature we're reading that anyone thinks that's absolutely necessary. Just keep washing your hands after you handle it.
Remember, if you want to ask a question, you can press 9 on your dial pad. We're going to take a question. We have a whole host of folks that are interested in understanding the restrictions that have been placed in terms of public restaurants. Some folks want to know why so many, and others want to know if there will be more. So we'll take a question from Michael in Bloomfield Hills. Michael, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Actually, my question is a little bit different than that. It was whether there is a consideration of a complete quarantine of everybody on a limited basis, either from the county, the state, or the federal government, and where do you think that's going to land?
So that's a great question, and as Kathy started out by saying, this is such an evolving pandemic that changes every day. As of today, we support the governor's recommendation of 50 or less. The CDC has said 10 or less, and frankly, to err on the side of caution, I think that's probably a wise move. We have asked our restaurants to close to carry out only because we know those are large gathering places where people tend to be sort of packed together. Any place, frankly, where people are crowded together, like a bar, like a store. If you're in a store that's very crowded and you don't feel like you can have a 6-foot distance between you and someone else, you should avoid those places. I will tell you that other additional restrictive measures may become necessary. It's on the table. Part of it is how well people respond to the guidance that they've been giving, been given already, and what voluntary measures they take. But if people don't heed this seriously, there will be additional measures, and I know that those are being discussed both at the state level, here at the county level, and certainly nationally as well. But as of today, I think the governor's order is prudent, but if you're concerned, and I think you should be, then I would very seriously limit your interaction with crowds of 10 or more.
Okay, we'll take a question from Peggy, who's calling from Novi. Peggy, can you hear us? Peggy from Novi.
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, hi, Peggy.
Okay. Hi. I am 76, and my husband is 79. And we decided to just stay in the house and have the groceries bought in. But once a day, we go out for a walk in the park. We've been trying to stay away from other people and giving them a 6-foot space, but sometimes they kind of crowd in on the trail. Now, is that a good thing to be doing at our age or not?
I think getting outdoors is a great idea. I applaud you for that. I applaud you for kind of isolating yourselves in your home for this period of time. That's the best protection you could have right now to limit your access to COVID-19. When you're out walking on a trail and others pass you by, I don't think that's something I would worry about. Close contact is generally considered to be something longer than just quickly passing by. So I would say keep up the great work and get outdoors and enjoy some sunshine and fresh air. That's only going to be great for your health.
The next question is from David, who's calling from Highland. David, can you hear us?
Yes.
Hi, David.
Hi, I had a quick question. I think it was real good. I was craving some, I've been staying home. I've been really doing a lot of hiking. I'm 64 years old. I look young from age. I'm in relatively good health. Anyway, I went to the White Lake Market, and I just got ice cream donuts. I was in there probably 2.5-3 minutes, but you know, I got really nervous. I was keeping my 6 foot distance, and then a man, I don't know if he was drinking, it smelled like he might have been drinking or something. Anyways, he got closer to me, and I really got tight. I didn't want to say, hey, would you please back off, but I was in there. And I got rubbing alcohol in my car. As soon as I got in the car, I wiped down the products, one cart of ice cream donuts, and, you know, rubbing alcohol on my hands. I just wondered, what kind of risk am I putting at myself momentarily that, you know, out in the public right now?
So I would say, again, if you're, you know, just passing by someone or someone gets close to you for a second, that's not a big deal, but it is if they're coughing or sneezing, and that is something we want to avoid. So it sounds to me like you're being very conscious of keeping your distance and practicing great social distancing practices, and keep up the good work.
We'll take the next question from someone who wants to understand a little bit more about isolating in the home. Is it from Waterford, Alam?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My question is, let's assume that the family member is infected with the virus and is isolated at home, being isolated at home. What's the rest of the family members they're supposed to do? What's your advice?
So there's a lot of things you can do you can live with someone who is ill and still manage not to get it yourself by practicing great social distancing. The important thing to do, if at all possible, is to isolate that family member in their own bedroom space. And they should stay in that bedroom space and not come out into a living area or go into the kitchen. If you have more than one bathroom, it would be wonderful to be able to let that person use one bathroom and everyone else uses another one. And then just when you bring meals into them, keep your distance when you do that, or if you go in to talk to them. Just keep your distance, and you'll be fine.
Good question. Again, if you're just joining us, this is Dave Coulter, the Oakland County Executive, and we're taking your questions on the coronavirus. I'm joined here by Kathy Borsley, who is our Director of the Health Department. Hillary, do we have any other questions?
Yes, Eric from Northville. Eric, can you hear us? Go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, I can hear you. My question is about the need to visit grocery stores, hospitals, and friends. The point is, face masks reduce the chance of getting sick from the China virus. Orderly distribution of face masks are a high priority to reduce the spread. Normal places to buy the masks have failed us. How is Oakland County going to solve this issue?
So actually the CDC does not recommend that the public use face masks to prevent the virus. Those face masks should be reserved for a surgical mask for someone that's ill that has to be examined by someone, or they're in a setting, a healthcare setting, where they might be instantly for a few moments be walking through a waiting room. They should wear a surgical mask, but it is unnecessary for others to be wearing that, and CDC does not recommend that. This is a limited resource, and it should be used wisely. So there's no plan for distribution of face masks in this country. You may have seen that in other countries, but scientifically, that has not been shown to be necessary as long as social distancing is being practiced.
Thank you.
I want to say one more thing about that. When someone's wearing a surgical mask, it's not to protect you. It's to protect you when someone that's ill is wearing it. It's called droplet protection. So if someone is ill, we put a surgical mask on them so that when they cough or sneeze, it does not go out into the air. So it's not even intended for a well person.
Dave, we have a few commissioners who have joined us on the call, and the Board of Commissioners met last night and approved setting aside money to be available to help the Oakland County coronavirus response. So I want to acknowledge that Commissioner Eileen Kowal, who is from White Lake, is on the call. And Commissioner Kowal, can you hear us?
I can, yes.
Hello, go ahead. Would you like to say a word of greeting?
I would very much, and I think these calls are a great idea. People are very hungry for information, and there's a lot of unease and anxiety. And I just wanted to say that Executive Coulter and you, Hillary, our health department, our emergency response, Homeland Security, everybody is just doing a great proactive job in dealing with this crisis of COVID-19. So I hope that we can stem it and keep the level down and sit to the point where we can deal with it.
Thank you
for all your efforts.
Thank you, Commissioner, and we appreciate the support of the board. We're working hand-in-hand with our board, also with the state health department and the federal agencies. We're all in this together, and together we'll get through this. So thanks, Commissioner.
We have a question from Mr. Brown in Troy. Mr. Brown, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead, sir.
My question is, if a person gets the coronavirus and then recovers, can they get it a second time?
We don't believe so, although, you know, there's not a lot written on that yet. Those things are usually, they come out after something's been around and observed for a length of time. So we don't have any scientific articles on that yet. And so we're making an assumption that that's probably true, but I don't think we can say for certain that that's true yet.
The next question is from Daryl in White Lake. Daryl, can you hear us?
Yeah. Go ahead, sir. Hi, my question is, I just found out today that a gentleman that I work with, he's not a current worker at our place, but we work with him sporadically, and I was with him on a job in a different location other than our work location, but he had come in there also, and he called me tonight and said that he found out, and I didn't ask him how he found out, but he found out he was contacted that he had worked with a gentleman or worked in a building that a gentleman was confirmed contagious back, I think he said Tuesday or Wednesday last week. So my question is, he contacted me. Am I supposed to do the 14-day protocol? Should I contact all the people that I've been in contact with? And, you know, that's really the base of my question.
Good, very good question. So, no, the short answer is no, you would not be at risk. What we do is when we do a contact investigation, we go back to the first day of symptoms, and then we start to identify the close contacts. So since the person that was in contact with another person, first of all, was he a close contact? And second of all, if he doesn't have any symptoms yet, then you don't have anything to worry about. And I assume he's quarantining now or someone told him he needs to. So in terms of you and the people you work with, there's no exposure risk.
We'll take a question from Will in Birmingham. Will, can you hear us?
Yes, how you doing?
Very good. Go ahead.
Hey, Will.
How you doing? And my question is, if someone is experiencing symptoms, and especially for elderly parents or grandparents, and they don't have the test done, is there a cost associated with it? And if so, how much is it?
Well, that depends on your insurance and where you go. I can't tell you what your copay might be. I can tell you that if you need assistance with getting free testing, you should call our nurse on call. They can help you, put you in touch with clinics that can help you with that. So please call 1-800-848-5533 for more assistance.
And I will also add, Increasingly, insurance companies are waiving the fees for the test. I know Blue Cross Blue Shield recently announced that they would not be charging for testing. The president, in fact, today said that all tests would be made free. So even if you got a bill from your insurance company, I'd push back a little bit and maybe challenge that, because we're being told that all testing should be free, and it'll be up to the insurance carriers to carry out that directive.
And one more thing about that those of us that have aging parents, should we wake up one morning and we start to have a symptom, we should not be visiting them on that day, and we should wait to see if something materializes, and we really should isolate ourselves from our seniors and our family members that might have underlying health conditions, because this could be devastating to them.
Kathy, on that front, can you emphasize the importance of grandparents and their grandchildren limiting interaction?
Yes, I know it's a really hard thing to do, and grandparents really need to see their grandchildren. It's really important to them. But at this time, we really should not be taking grandchildren to grandparents' houses or even those with underlying medical conditions, because the interesting thing about this is most children under the age of 20 will have very mild symptoms, and we might not even recognize it as a potential COVID-19 infection. So they could be carriers to their grandparents, and once again, while it might be a very mild illness for the child, it could be a very severe illness requiring hospitalization for the grandparents.
We'll take a question from Lisa in Waterford.
Hello?
Are you on the line? Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I was wondering, of the 132 cases that were confirmed, how many of those have been hospitalized?
So I don't know the total number of hospitalized, but literally as of this afternoon, we had 5 people that were in intensive care. So some of them very serious. It's probably higher than that by this evening, because these numbers are climbing. And that's why it's so critical that you don't just show up at the emergency room or show up at your doctor's office, but that you call them first, you talk through your symptoms with them. Because, the reason we want to flatten the curve is because we don't want to overwhelm our healthcare system. And beds are filling up with some very serious people. If you're the praying type, I'd say keep them in your prayers, because we have some people that are very sick right now. There's been 3 deaths in Michigan. One of those deaths occurred at McLaren Hospital in Pontiac, although it was a Wayne County resident. But we know there will be fatalities. And so that's going to be part of this pandemic that stays with us for a while.
I now want to unmute the line of our chair of the board, Commissioner Dave Woodward from Royal Oak.
Thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Executive Coulter and Kathy, and the entire team doing a great job. Like my colleague, Eileen Kowal, mentioned, we stand behind you and the entire team. You've been leading us through this with incredible success. The board was happy to approve an additional million for a total of $1.5 million to help support the response to this pandemic, and that's in addition to all the resources that we put together. I mean, we obviously operate our health department and all those things, and as well as continuing your emergency declaration. We stand with you. We're going to be supportive of you. Thank you for doing these calls. This is so important to get this information. And I guess the last thing I just want to stress, this is a very serious issue. And for all the people listening, it's important that we tell our friends and our family to take social distancing serious, communicate that. It's in our power to try to flatten the curve, as the executive's talking about. So to take that to heart. And again, Executive Coulter, thank you for your leadership. You're doing an incredible job.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, as I said earlier, we really appreciate the support of the board, giving me those emergency authorities, giving us the resources that we need. We're all in this together, so appreciate you being on the call, Mr. Chair.
I'll take a question from Ann in West Bloomfield. Ann, are you there?
Yes. My question is, can you comment on how one would distinguish between the symptoms of just seasonal allergies, because the cough and sore throat are also symptoms of the COVID-19?
Yeah, that's really difficult. I think that your doctor can talk you through that and maybe ask specific questions that would help him understand if he thinks you're experiencing something that could be COVID-19. I think that if it starts to worsen or progress, then we're not talking about allergies, most likely. I know that there's a lot of people that ask that same question because they are experiencing allergy symptoms right now. I heard one doctor say that if you take an allergy medication and everything clears up, then it's highly unlikely it's COVID-19. But still, everybody's different, and we always recommend calling your physician or call Nurse on Call.
I'll take a question from Randy in Troy. Randy, are you are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, hi, Randy.
How you doing? You guys are doing a great job. I just had a quick question. I'm a plumber, and I just go in and out of these houses a lot, since all the families are being at home right now, and I just want to know, is that safe or what's going on there?
I know that that is concerning to a lot of people that have work environments inside of other people's homes. Some go so far as to ask them how they're feeling today before they go in, and you should feel free to do that too. But on the other hand, if you stay out of people's airspace and don't get too close and let them know that while you're doing that, they might appreciate that as well. And then you work in the, you're probably working in a space that they're not standing around breathing over you, so you should be safe to do that. And then just make sure you wash your hands and sanitize them along the way, and you should be fine.
Okay, we'll take a question from Tommy from Troy.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. Do you feel there's any incremental risk if we actually drove to our home in Florida to stay kind of isolated down there as opposed to staying here for the next several weeks? And then maybe a second part to that is we have heard rest stops or welcome centers are being closed. Do you have any feedback on that?
So there's many layers to an answer to that question. First, that when you travel to another state, should you become ill along the way or in the state when you finally get there, you're going to be relying on a medical system that you don't know a lot about, perhaps, and you don't have your own doctor there that knows you. So that's an issue. The other issue being that you're talking about going to a state that has a lot of visitors right now, and that is increasing the burden on that healthcare system tremendously. And I do know in Florida they have not closed restaurants. They've closed bars and nightclubs in many areas. So there's a lot of congregating still going on in restaurants. And, you know, our advice to our own employees is not to travel at this time. And I believe the State Department even issued an advisory about that today as well, even for domestic travel, that this is the time to kind of hunker down in your own community with the healthcare system that you know best and ride it out in your house and don't expose yourself to others. But I know this is an individualized decision, but please equip yourself with all the information before you make that decision. And Nurse on Call would be happy to talk to you about it as well.
And so that's a good reminder that we have a Nurse on Call program. You can call them any from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And their number is 1-800-848-5533. We also just launched a new program this morning I want to tell you about. If you'd like to get the most recent and up-to-date information about COVID-19 from Oakland County, you can now get that as a text on your phone. All you have to do is text OakGov, OakGov, to the number 28748. 2-8-7-4-8. And if you want to sign up for those, we will send your information to your phone as we get it, as the pandemic progresses and our guidelines change.
We have a lot of good questions left, so I'm going to go to a question from Michelle in Bloomfield Hills.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you for doing this. My husband and I are learning quite a bit. We are small business owners, and we had to close our business on Monday. I just spoke to our insurance, and unfortunately, a pandemic is not covered by most of the insurance companies. So my question is there going to be any assistance from Michigan to help us small business owners besides an SBA loan? Because I still have mortgage payments as I pay my staff for the last 2 weeks, and I will have no income coming in for at least 2 months or longer.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry about your situation and the loss of income. I know how difficult that's going to be. We've been talking a lot here internally about, as we finally get our hands around the public health aspect of this, the economic aspect is also going to be enormous. Those conversations are happening. New programs are being rolled out all the time. I know that Congress is actively talking about a series of economic packages to address these kinds of issues. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I even saw that Ford Motor today was saying you could skip 3 payments and then delay 3 payments. So I think you're going to see a lot of financial institutions and others stepping up because they understand the severity and the unprecedented nature of this. Today, through the state, it's the small business loans that are still the primary source of resources for you. But I can just tell you to keep your eye on the media and the reports that you see, because that will be the next major aspect of this pandemic that's already being addressed and will continue to be so.
Michelle, I would also welcome you calling our office tomorrow. You can call me at 248-858-2090, and I'll put you in touch with our business development folks. We're starting 3 calls tomorrow with DDAs and economic development people and some local chambers so that we can work at the county to supplement some of the efforts going on at the federal and state level. So please reach out to us tomorrow, and we can keep in touch with you as we go forward. I have a question regarding the flu shot. Ken from Commerce Township.
Hi. Yeah, if I've had the flu shot, is there any data to support that I could expect to have diminished effects from COVID-19?
No, this is not a flu strain. It's a coronavirus is a different category, and although there are benefits to having the flu shot in that hopefully it would help you not to get the flu or have a milder case of flu, which is so important because actually we're seeing a number of results of tests where people have both influenza and coronavirus, and that's something we definitely don't want to see because that really complicates your symptoms, and I think that having a flu shot is a good thing just to reduce the chances of having both.
Okay, a question from Joan in South Lyon. Joan in South Lyon?
Oh, yes. My question was, I'm 86 and staying in for the 15-day suggestion.
Quarantine?
What happens after the 15 days? What do you do?
So are you saying you're staying in for a quarantine because you've been exposed to coronavirus, or you have coronavirus, or you're just staying inside to try to prevent getting coronavirus?
Just trying to prevent.
Okay, so it's great that you're staying inside, but that 15 days is probably not going to be enough to make sure you get through to the other side with greatly reduced chances of getting coronavirus. It's going to be some time where we're all going to have to be very careful about social distancing. So I think it's great that you're staying inside. You should do that as long as you can and figure out ways where you can get things maybe delivered to you. And if you go out, you know, go outside to get some fresh air, that's fine. But just avoid the crowds and try to social distance from other people as best you can.
A question from Sharon in Waterford. Sharon in Waterford?
Yeah, I just wanted to know I got your appointment next month. Should I go or not? I'm an older person. And...
Go ahead. Is this a routine appointment, like a medical appointment? Hang on one second.
For a retina, I go every 6 months.
Yeah, so routine appointments, you should talk to your doctor. A lot of doctors are saying that maybe this is something that we should delay for a few months. But sometimes it's going to be cases where the doctor really needs to see you because it really you've got an issue that they're monitoring closely and they can't afford to wait a few months. Or maybe they want to talk to you on the phone about something, but call your doctor. Many of them are postponing routine appointments for a while.
Okay. And is it safe to go out and get mail if the mail delivery person might have it?
Yes, it's safe to go out. I would just bring the mail in and go through it and wash my hands and not worry about that.
Okay, we'll take a question from Jessica in West Bloomfield.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, you know, just scared, literally worried. So I just have a question. So I know there's no, like, time, you can't be certain setting time period and stuff, but, like, how long do you guys anticipate that this is going to, like, last?
Well, it depends on a lot of things, but we hope to flatten the curve by everybody doing the social distancing, and it could be, you know, a bit of time. I would like to say that we'll know better as time goes on, but I don't imagine that we're going to stop practicing social distancing and washing our hands intensively probably for a few months. But I want to say something to you because I'm sensing that you are fearful, and we have really good tools here. Public health tools of social distancing go back decades, actually 100 years ago that was practiced, and that got them through a pandemic 100 years ago. It's tried and true. Social distancing works. Hand washing works. These are really phenomenal tools. Practice them, and you don't have anything to worry about. I don't want you to live in fear every day.
Thanks, Kathy. Hillary, do we have any other questions?
A question from Nikki in Troy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Nikki.
Hi. I just wanted you to reiterate, so when is it you think people are contagious? Did you say not until they're showing symptoms for the most part?
Correct. So some things some viruses, we start looking at what people's close contacts were a day or two before they show symptoms. But CDC tells us that we can be confident in looking for close contact on the day symptoms start to appear. So this should give us also another tool that we don't have to worry a lot about people that haven't started to show signs of illness. But the tricky part is that sometimes those signs are very mild. So everyone has to self-monitor. If they start to show a mild symptom, they should stay home till they figure out if this is actually something that could be COVID-19. Actually, hospitals that are seeing patients with symptoms that are mild to moderate are saying, well, your symptoms aren't serious enough to test, but we're going to assume that you have coronavirus, And so we're going to send you home to quarantine until such time that your fever has been gone for 3 days without fever-reducing medications, and it's been 7 days since the first day you had signs or symptoms. So if we were to all practice that with even mild symptoms, we would really be going a long way to protect the people around us and our communities.
We have a question from Vicki in West Bloomfield.
Hi, yes, this is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi. You guys are doing a great job. I wanted to ask a question about colleges. So as you know, most of the Michigan colleges have gone to online learning. And I wondered, what are your thoughts about college students coming home to Oakland County versus staying off campus but near school in another county?
So that's a great question. When the students are returning home, I mean, if they're coming from out of state, from hotspot areas in the country, I think it's a good idea to have them quarantine at home for a couple of weeks, if that's possible. We recommend people that are coming in from a number of locations to do that, and if you want more information about that, Nurse on Call would be the one to call. If we're talking about somewhere in our state they've been at school, they, you know, they can come home and return to normal practices or things they want to do in the community because there are no hot spots in Oakland County, or I mean in the state at this moment.
Kathy, can I just ask maybe you a question on that? Would it make a difference if there was a senior in the house?
Well, that's a good point,
yeah.
Because we're trying to keep our seniors away from younger people that may not experience the more severe illness, and they may have very minor symptoms. We should do our very best to keep our seniors protected and go the extra mile and keep people at a great distance from them, if at all possible, not in the same house if it's a younger person that might not experience more severe illness.
I mentioned at the start of the call, you know, the age range in Oakland County now is from 7 months to 91. Anyone can get it, but if you're younger and in good health, it could be just like a mild flu. It won't be as severe. So, potentially. But with seniors and people with underlying health conditions, they don't get it in a mild case. And so those are the ones that we all have to be most mindful to protect. So always, if you have someone in your house with an underlying health condition like diabetes or other things, or is a senior, take extra precaution, not because they're more likely to get it, but because they're more likely to get it in a more severe way.
Right.
I wanted to just kind of reiterate some of the contact information we gave out tonight. Kathy mentioned several times the Nurse on Call, which is 1-800-848-5533. We've also set up a help hotline, so anyone that has questions regarding food assistance or what stores they might be able to shop at that have senior hours or anything we might be able to help with related to your questions around coronavirus, that number would be 248-858-1000. And Dave also mentioned our texting. If you wanted to receive updates on your phone, it's textoakgov 28748. And I think we're almost at the end, so I can take one more question, or Mr. Coulter, if you would like to make some closing remarks.
Well, let's take one more question, Hillary, and then we'll wrap up. If you have one.
Yes. Karen.
Do we have a question, Hillary? Otherwise,
yeah,
we can...
I have lots of questions. I just have to figure out how to open one up. So Karen from Waterford, go ahead.
Hello. I was just wanting to know if it may be possible, the method in which you invited us to the meeting this evening, if there was any interest in sending out a mass reminder to people to limit their comings and goings, especially for younger people, you know, that are in their teens or early 20s that are more, you know, active, to prevent them from, you know, picking up something and bringing it home in light of being in a critical time, to try to minimize, as the news is saying, like every week they're seeing a doubling of the cases. So just thought that that might be helpful as a reminder to limit the number of times they're going out per day, especially for younger people.
Yep. Thank you. You know, we are exploring all communications opportunities, because we know that when the public has good, solid, reputable information from people like Kathy Forsley and the other health professionals, we can reduce fear and panic. That's why we started the texting just today and the hotline. We can certainly explore that. And I just want to comment on what you said about the number going up. Remember, the number is going up in large part because we're doing more testing. Our county, the virus is in the population of our county. We're going to continue to see that number go up. So I don't want you to panic. When you see that number rise, we're taking it seriously, obviously. But just know that the increased amount of testing is partly what's driving those numbers up. So with that, I just want to thank you all for being here. Stay calm, stay safe, protect yourself and your loved ones. And if you have any questions at all, reach out to us in Oakland County. That's what we're here for. And whatever your question is, if it's regarding meals or housing or medical issues, use one of those phone numbers that we've given you. Sign up for the text, and we will stay in touch with you. Thanks so much, Oakland County, and stay safe.